The passage for my message to you today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 37 through 42. Hear the word of God. Jesus said, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure that you get back." He also told them a parable. "Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, 'Friend, let me take that speck out of your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye." Let us pray. God, for your word, we are grateful. We're grateful even when that word is difficult and challenging to hear, because we know you want life and blessing for us and for your world. Lord, help us to hear, to understand, to take to heart, and to put into practice what Jesus would teach us this day. Holy Spirit, work deep within our hearts in your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes when we're together, I like to start a sermon by asking a question, as you know. And sometimes I like to see what your response is to that question. I'll ask you to raise your hand or to nod if you agree. Well, this morning, I can't see if you're raising your hand or if you're nodding in agreement. Frankly, I'm getting tired of preaching to an iPhone, but that's for another sermon. I do, however, want to start with a few questions this morning, and I know I won't get to see your response, but if you agree, maybe at home you can raise your hand or you can nod if you like. Or if you want, I suppose you could take your phone and put one of those thumbs up emojis on it along the way. So here are the questions. They are very serious questions today. Let me ask you, do you ever find yourself, maybe somewhere deep in your heart, wanting some answers and some accountability for all that is going on around us? Perhaps, I should say, not happening around us as well. Do you want more than instructions on how long we're going to have to put up with all of this and stay cooped up? Is there something in you, perhaps even just the tiniest of voices back in that dark place in your heart and mind, that tiny voice that makes you want to know who is at fault for all of this and what we can do about it? Sometimes we want justice, don't we? We want things to be made right. We want the ledger to be balanced, especially when it is we who have been wronged. After all, even some of our national leaders these days are calling on other nations to make reparations for damage done to our economy, and we, some of us, want to join and say yes to that cry. How about you? Are any of you nodding your heads to any of these questions this morning? Any of you raise your hand? Mark, we see any thumbs up emojis on Facebook today? Not yet. Of course, the issue of getting to the bottom of things and of casting blame isn't just about global issues, is it? It can become very personal and very communal as well. When things aren't going the way that we think they should go, or when we aren't getting our way, the tension can mount in a person's heart. The tension can build up and become a kind of pressure among a group of people, or even within an individual, a community, a church club, a civic group, what have you, even a business. When life hasn't turned out as it should or as we had hoped, we want to know who or what is at fault. We want to name them. We want to remove them so that we can start again. We want to take the weight and the pressure that we feel off of ourselves and cast it and throw it onto another person. Sometimes we even want to cast blame when friendships and family relationships and marriages prove to be challenging. We deserve the best from others, we think. After all, we're surely giving them our best, and if they would only change a little bit, everything would come out all right. If only they would put in more effort and change. It's only right, we think, to feel these ways, to want these things, justice, and to be set right and to be treated right by others. It's right for us to want to get to the bottom of things, isn't it? To find out the cause, to figure out how we can bring as much justice as possible to the situation. That's normal, isn't it? Well, not according to Jesus. To all the blame that we would place on others, Jesus asks us to take our accusing and pointing finger and turn it around at ourselves, at least at first. Unlike our sense of normal and what should be normal, God's normal is to begin by treating others with grace and forgiveness and generosity of spirit. The question is that something that we really want? Do we really want God's normal? Or do we want to continue the way that we've done things all along the way? Some might even wonder if it is possible to do what Jesus is talking about. But Jesus says that it is. It most certainly is possible to follow his teaching if you are committed his way. Jesus said these words. Listen to them very carefully once again. Let them sink in a little bit. Begin to think about what they might mean for you and how they might affect the way that you think and feel and act toward others. He said, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you." Two things not to do: judge and condemn. Two things to do: forgive and give. And the results are just as clear, says Jesus, when we will be treated by God with the same amount of grace and forgiveness and care that we show to other people. If we do this, we will be blessed. Jesus drew an illustration from the marketplace of his day. In the center of every major city and probably every small village, there was an agora, a marketplace, with sellers all around, with all of their wares. It was kind of the Sanders market of their day, although out in the open air. And Jesus said, "A good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." Can't you just see a vendor perhaps filling a bag of grain or wheat of some kind into somebody's satchel and shaking it and pressing it down tightly so as to get as much as possible into that bag and it beginning to brim over, and maybe you couldn't even cinch it quite tight enough because that vendor had given so much? I kind of think if Jesus had lived here in Northeast, he might have used a different illustration of showing what it means to receive back grace and forgiveness and care from God when we do it for others. I'd like to think that he would have used the illustration of going up to the counter at Straw Hat Ice Cream, and the girl behind the counter takes your cone and she begins to fill it with the ice cream, you've been there, and scoop it in one scoop after another, and she presses it down into the cone so that it will fill up, and then she begins to pile it up on top. That's what God does. That's what God does for us. When we don't judge or condemn others, God does not judge or condemn us. When we show forgiveness, kindness and grace to others, all that blessing overflows for us. It is stacked high on the cone, as it were. Gene, we ought to go to Straw Hat today. Now that I think about it, I'm not sure if they're open or not. Even still, though, when I hear Jesus teach these words, even still, and perhaps you will join me in this wonder, I want to say, hold on a minute, Jesus. Are you really serious? Really? Can we really not judge others? And in fact, shouldn't we judge others and judge the behavior of others? Now, I'm not questioning the difficulty of Jesus' command. It's hard, let's be honest. But then again, Jesus gives us very hard things to do all the time, doesn't he? We can't read a page of the gospel text without him surprising us or him calling us to do actions that are very difficult. It is inescapable. The question is, should we refrain from judging others and making judgments? Because we must make judgments about other people. Moms and dads, they have to decide if on a night that they want to go out, if a certain teenager has the character and the ability to sit with their children a few hours in an evening so that they can go out and take a break and know that their children will be safe. Or maybe more to the point, the parents ought to be thinking, do they really want to inflict their children on a nice, upstanding teenager? And employers, well, they must decide among several different candidates for the job who seems best to work at their position. And we're careful, aren't we, about who we would choose to handle our finances and our investments. Do we trust that person to make good decisions with all that we've worked so hard to earn? Do we trust them with our retirement savings? Big questions these days. I mean, it's the same kind of questions about doctors and nurses. Do they have the right training? And do they really care about us? Judgments. It's unwise not to make judgments about people. It's impossible, even. More than this, the books and the letters and the poems of the Bible offer very sharp opinions about what people should and should not do. We make judgments about our behavior and judgments about our morality, and we are called to do this and called to be discerning, called to think about what is right and what is wrong, what is acceptable and unacceptable, what is healthy and what is harmful, over and over again. And so in a way, we're left asking, Jesus, do you really mean what you say? Well, yes, of course Jesus meant what he said. You see, there is a difference, isn't there, between using good judgment and being judgmental. Jesus was not talking about judging others in the sense of not using discernment, but rather with the idea that it is not our place to think and feel and act towards someone or some group of people as if they are unworthy of being welcomed by God or less valuable to God than we are. Instead, we are to act toward others as God does toward us. And God takes us just as we are. God transforms us and our lives, yes. He doesn't leave us where we are, but he takes us in the beginning just as we are. God's not judgmental. Our behavior, our actions, our thoughts, our character, oh yeah, it's judged. There's good discernment to be involved, but God welcomes us just as we are. And Jesus said that there are ways for us to keep from being judgmental, like so much of the rest of the world. First, Jesus said, we have to trust them. A person without sight should not be led by someone else or others who do not have sight either. Back then, water was very scarce in Palestine, and people went drilling holes all over the place in the search and finding wells in the search of finding water. And the landscape was marked with and pockmarked with cisterns and with wells all over the place. There were holes along the way. And if you were blind and walking without sight, well, you might just fall in one of those. It would be a dangerous thing without a good guide who could really see what was going on to guide you on your path. And so we've got to trust Jesus. We want to have as our guide that one who sees all and who knows all. I wonder, when you follow Jesus, do you follow him in that way? Are you walking with sight, with his sight and his guidance? You can see where he is going. The question is, do you believe him? Will you trust him to walk in his way? Do you trust his normal way of doing things? In this case, of being gracious and forgiving and caring of others. Do you trust that when sometimes it seems so different from the way that we feel and think and act toward others? We will never know better than Jesus, will we? A student is never above her teacher. So our goal is to be fully trained by Jesus so that we can be as much like him as possible. And this means doing things his way, even though it's not the way the rest of the world works. And perhaps that's a good idea. After all, the way the rest of the world works hasn't been working out so well, has it? And second, Jesus says, not only must we trust him, but there's a habit that we should get into. And that habit is to practice a little bit of self-examination. When you interact with others, especially those people with whom you struggle, do you find yourself thinking that they need to change and only then will things get better? You might even hide that feeling behind good intentions or supposed good intentions, thinking that if you are kind enough to point out another person's error or the way that they're acting or a fault of some kind, that you're helping them in some way, that you're actually doing them a favor by helping them become a better person. Brother, Jesus said, let me take that speck out of your eye. Let me help you a little. I care for you, we might hide behind that feeling. Jesus says instead that we should look at ourselves first. He wants us to take the 2x4 out of our own eye and not worry about the speck of sawdust in the other person's eye quite yet. And then if we do that, if we start with a little self-examination first, then we will be able to truly help others. Because we will know that we live only by the grace and the forgiveness and the loving care of our God. And we'll be ready to extend that to other people as well. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Now, before we get on the bandwagon and start shouting for justice and blaming blame on others for this virus and all of its impact to our society, before we begin to think about how others need to change and get their act together, before we cut someone out of our life who has disappointed us or who has hurt us and we don't want to have anything to do with them anymore, let us remember that God forgave and forgives us, even though we treated him in an unworthy manner. And God reconciled us to himself, even when we ignored him and turned from him and tried to hide from him. And God sought us out, and God welcomed us home. Our Heavenly Father did not point a finger of accusation at us. Rather, he pointed that accusation at his own Son, who absorbed the judgment of our sin on our behalf. In Jesus, all of our sin and all of the rancor and all of the accusations and all of the judgmental spirit and the racism and the suspicions and the hatred of others that we might have, whether we keep that down deep and tight or whether we voice it to others, all of that has been nailed to the cross. It is dead in him. For those who truly follow him, those days are said and done. They are put to death. Instead, there is a resurrection to a new way of living. A new way of living that becomes our way of life, Jesus' way. The cross is God's no to our sin, and the cross is also God's yes to us. It sets us on a new path. It gives us a new life, a life that is seen in Jesus' resurrection. Living this life out is not easy. The way of the cross is never, ever easy, and we still live in a world of sin. Even still, the way of the cross always ultimately leads to the joy of resurrection and new life. It will mean then for us, this way of the cross, a good bit of self-examination and self-correction, and perhaps silence even, when we see what others are doing and hear what others are saying. It will mean bringing needed change within ourselves, rather than expecting it of others or waiting for it to happen in the lives of others, waiting for them to change and to conform to what we desire and to our expectations. Jesus didn't wait for others to change before he welcomed them. He didn't go around pointing the finger at others. Even when he confronted others, he never walked away from them. They were always welcome to him. Instead, what Jesus did is that he humbly showed grace and forgiveness and loving care. And we can do the same. With his help, we will do the same. Amen.